And so over the last couple of weeks, we spent some time talking about some different spiritual exercises of prayer and fasting and study. Last week, we talked about the relationship between submission and service and how those go together and how important those are as we try to figure out what it means to follow Jesus and some different things like that. This morning, I want to spend some time talking about the idea of simplicity. And so before we jump in, I'm going to pray, and then we'll go. Heavenly Father, again, we give you thanks that you're here, and we give you thanks that we're here. And Lord, we pray that you would help us just to be open to the things that you would have for us this morning. Open our hearts and our minds to those things, that your Spirit would be a filter for us, so that maybe even if just for a moment we could set aside the distractions from the past week or the week ahead and kind of latch on to those things that you'd have. And I pray that your word would be fresh and new to us this morning, and certainly that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, the purpose of the exercise is always, there's a goal, right? The exercise is never the end in itself. And so it's a similar way when we think about spiritual exercises, because when the mean becomes the end, then we've reached a dead end. So when we get into, especially when we think about spiritual stuff, because it's easy for us to think that these spiritual exercises can become the end in itself, and then really what we've done is set up our own little idols and have actually become what I would say really legalistic. We become more focused on the rules part and not as much the relationship part of religion, then we run into a dead end. And so that's what Jesus is talking about in the culture of in his day. And you've got a group of the church leaders who have set up so many rules that became their God. That became the point. And so when the mean becomes the end, then we've reached a dead end. And so we've got to look at the spiritual exercises in a way that are always pushing us toward God. They're always pushing us toward, and I would suggest even, they're always wanting to push us toward the goal of freedom in and through Christ. So whether it's prayer or fasting, study, service, simplicity, next week we're going to talk, so you have a heads up, next week we're going to talk about confession. I think I got something next week. I remember cleaning out the garage, right? So, all right. So, you know, next week we're going to talk about confession. Coming up, we'll be talking about the spiritual exercise of worship. Easter Sunday, we'll have some fun, and we'll be talking about the spiritual exercise of celebration. So whatever it is, they're always to push us towards Jesus. Always to push us towards what I would suggest is the freedom that can be found in and through Christ. But if we set that thing up, fasting, prayer, study, whatever, if that becomes the thing, we're missing the point, okay? And so Jesus was kind of speaking into a culture like that when he talks about the idea that if the mean becomes the end, then we've reached a dead end, okay? If you're taking some notes, write down, Ecclesiastes 7:29. And I'm going to read it in a couple. You're not going to see it on the screen, so if you want to check it out. We're having some issues with our Wi-Fi, so if you're on your phone and you're trying to find your Bible under the Sunrise Wi-Fi network, where for some reason it was not working this morning. However, there's another one that you can jump on that's open. It's some sort of links, 5-4 and some numbers or whatever. So just jump on one of those and you'll find your Bible, okay? So if you're taking notes, Ecclesiastes 7:29. I'm going to read it in two different versions because I thought it was interesting. The Message reads this way. Yet I did spot one ray of light in this murk. God made men and women true and upright. We're the ones who've made a mess of things. God made men and women true and upright. We're the ones who've made a mess of things. The Common English Bible says it this way. See, this alone I found. God made human beings straightforward, but they search for many complications. One translation even says that God had made men and women, humankind, simply to be simple, and we are the ones who complicate everything. So when we're talking about simplicity this morning, I think that's a kind of a good place to keep in mind or to start from as we kind of move into this idea or this practice, this exercise of simplicity. Now think about your own lives and think about sometimes the reasons why we do stuff. Sometimes there is a very logical, rational reason why we do what we do, why we go here, why we do this, why we said that, why we purchased that. Other times, there are reasons that are, just make no sense at all. Right? You've heard the saying that we buy stuff or we do things in order to impress the people that we don't even like. And so simplicity as an exercise would kind of push back on that and say, why do you do that? Why do you say that? Why do you have to have that? Why do you buy that? Now, when you look through Scripture, Jesus talks about money a lot. That's just a fact. Oftentimes, we get uncomfortable when we get into that topic. But Jesus talks about the economics, about economics a lot. And it's not just like, don't do this with your money or do this with your money, but the whole idea of an economic system and the way in which and especially care for the poor. Where do the poor fit into the overall economic system that we live in, that we foster, that we kind of participate in? Okay, so Jesus talks about that a lot, but he talks about the idea of simplicity and how it sort of impacts the decisions that we make. And you can see this in your own lives. When we have some decisions we make that are like, it makes sense. Other decisions that you've made or I've made, and we walk away from it and we go, that was totally irrational. The reason I made that decision had nothing to do with anything but trying to impress this person or that person or achieve this status or that status. And simplicity helps us fight that sort of tendency. Now, when you're thinking about simplicity, I would suggest that it might be impossible without some sort of divine center. So without God as a center for us, as this relationship that helps us sort of try to find a way. Simplicity is one of the things that can help us try to find some balance in our lives. That without God as that sort of centering relationship, simplicity becomes really, really difficult to achieve. Or even, I would suggest, maybe even pursue. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. And that's going to be where we spend the bulk of our time this morning. Matthew chapter 6. And it's, again, we find Jesus in his discourse on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. And you'll see the words there on the screen from the NIV. Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 33. And I'm gonna read through that if I can. In your Bibles, it'll be under a subtitle that says, "Do not worry," which becomes an interesting thing as you think about the exercise of simplicity. "Therefore I tell you," Jesus talking, "therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?" Verse 26. "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is sown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So Jesus gives us a sort of an antidote to worry. One of them, I would suggest, is simplicity. Think about your life for a second. Think about all of the stuff that causes you anxiety. think about if you were to have, if you were really able to simplify your life, right? I mean, I love that the writer of Ecclesiastes says, God has made men and women to be simple, and we just jack stuff up. That was my paraphrase. Right? So if I could just step back and go, okay, what's it, I mean, at a really basic level, what's it about? I mean, if I could strive to kind of whittle the craziness of life down into this, into its simplest form, which I believe is probably its truest form, where we would also most likely find Jesus, that if we could get down to that simple stuff, even where Jesus says, love God, love other people. It's hard. It's messy. I get all that. I understand that. But if we could, all the other stuff, if we could kind of trim the fat of complications, drama, anxiety in our lives, stress, these things that cause stress and worry, I wonder if simplicity might not be a thing that would be an exercise that would help us do that. And I feel like Jesus in this passage is saying, look at the birds, look at the grass. It's pretty basic. It's pretty simple for them, and God provides. Now, there are some components to simplicity that we have to be thinking about, or that we have to, I think, first lay as a groundwork. And the first thing comes at the end of this passage in verse 33, and Jesus says, but seek first what? His kingdom, right? But seek first his kingdom. And therein lies maybe simplicity. He even says, seek first his kingdom, and all the other stuff will be given to you. Now, what's hard for us is trust, right? Is the faith and the trust that God is actually going to do that. God, if I really truly seek your kingdom first, you're really going to provide my food and my clothes? Sometimes we take it to the extreme. Is that like, oh, so we can just quit our jobs, and we can just, I'm seeking your kingdom 24/7, and that's all I do. I just wander around the neighborhood seeking God, and you're going to provide my food and my clothes. Could he and would he? Could he? Sure. Would he? Maybe. We'd all think you're crazy, but he might. But I don't know that Jesus is suggesting that we all quit our jobs and we just become these wandering Jesus nomads. Well, I'm seeking God's kingdom. But I think there's a way that we can have our jobs, have our families, have our passions, and seek them while we also seek the kingdom first. But the groundwork has to be that we seek the kingdom of God first. One writer actually said that if we're not seeking the kingdom of God first, we're not seeking it at all. And that's kind of a hard word to hear, but I can't. I mean, in my life, I see some truth to that. I see some truth in the statement that Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom. And if I'm not seeking it first, then perhaps I'm not even seeking it at all. Now, a couple things about simplicity. Again, I talked about the exercises. The goal is freedom. I believe the goal is freedom, and it's freedom in and through Christ. And so the exercise of simplicity is one that I believe brings about freedom. And it does this in a couple of ways. One of the ways in which it brings about freedom is it allows us to recognize and receive from God. Simplicity reorients our perspective. It gives us a new focus, and it moves it from one of deserving and earning to seeing all that we have as gifts from God. Simplicity gives me the freedom to recognize, to receive gifts from God, and to look at all that I have as that thing, gifts from God. And so it frees me up from the sense of earning and deserving, right? Because that's when that causes anxiety in it, doesn't it, in us. When we feel like we have earned or deserved something and it doesn't happen, we get ticked. We get stressed. We get frustrated. And in that is anxiety. Simplicity says, what I have is from God. It is a gift from God, and it is freely. It allows me to freely receive it and take it as that, as gift. Simplicity also is the reminder that God cares for and about what we have. I think there's a relationship between simplicity and stewardship. That we are given the opportunity to be stewards of what God has given us, when we're able to look at simplicity and receive it freely. But also then I think we have to wrestle with the trust that God cares for the things that we have. I really think God cares about your house. Do I think God cares about your house as much as your family? Probably not. I think God really cares about people a lot. But I think he cares about your house too, and the way in which you're a steward of it. We bought our house about a little over a year ago, year and change ago. And one of the things that we did was, the front door was kind of just a mess. It's still sort of a mess. But we didn't like the hardware on there, so we changed out the handle and the locks and stuff. And I've never lived in a home that had, maybe you have this. It's been a new thing to me in the last couple of years that this is even a thing. If you have a home where there's a key for the deadbolt on the inside, right? So you've got the key for the, so like our door has like the handle lock, you know, the little push button lock that Theodore can like break open, right? So it's like whatever. So there's that. And then we have the deadbolt. And the deadbolt that was in there was one that had the key on the outside, and on the inside had the little knob that you just turn, and the deadbolt shuts, right? So when we got all new hardware and I was putting this in, I was like, oh, we need to get the one that has the key on both sides, because that will be an added level of security and protection, right? Because we have little side light things where if, you know, break in the window, unlock the door, and right? But also right next to that, we have a giant window. So, right. So when we think about simplicity and we recognize that God cares about the things that we have, if we recognize first that God gives it to us, second, that God cares about these things, that then we live in a culture that it's about protection, right? We want to protect the things we have. We want to hold them close. We want to hold them tight. So I get the, so I buy the deadbolt that has the key on both sides, right? The key on the inside. So I'm like, ha-ha, I'm going to stick it to you, thief. Like, you're not going to get in this door. You probably could open the window because I probably left it open, but you're not getting in through the door. And then, of course, the key to the deadbolt is like sitting on the little table next to the door. So it's like, well, you might get in, but you're not going to get stuff out until you find the key that's sitting right next to the table, or I left it in the lock. Right? My wife is like, this is the dumbest thing we've ever done. This is so annoying. Because, like, randomly, people don't really come to people's houses that much anymore, like, randomly. So, like, sometimes if somebody knocks on the door, and we're like, hold on! Because we have to go run and find the key somewhere. Because it's not just you can't unlock, open the door and be like, hi, welcome. It's like, hold on. My wife is like, my stupid husband put in the stupid lock. So I got to go find the stupid key to unlock the door from the inside. Hold on a second. Right? It's super annoying and inconvenient. But I'm like, oh, honey, it's protection. Simplicity recognizes that God cares about the things that we have, about our stuff, about our loved ones, about our lives, and that he is the one who not just gives it to us, but also protects us. And so simplicity gives me, kind of frees me up from this, from the paranoia or the obsession with protection or security. The false sense of, right? I mean, a lock is not going to keep you and me safe. It's just not. Because we all know a bazillion other ways that we can get into our houses. And if someone is determined to do that, there's nothing really that's going to stop them. The alarm system might make some noise, might get some people there a little bit quicker. But we have this sense where simplicity, simplicity does not call us to be stupid. So you can't go to the other extreme and go, well, if God cares about my stuff, then I'm going to leave my keys in my car. And I'm going to leave all the doors in my house unlocked. Well, that's just silly. But we can't be lured into thinking that in that is some sort of protection. God cares about us and about our stuff. He trusts us and wants us to be stewards of the things that he has freely given to us. Simplicity allows us to free them, to receive them. The other thing about simplicity is that it allows us, us and our stuff, to be available to others. Simplicity frees you and me to allow our stuff and ourselves, our time maybe especially, to be free to others, to be available to others. Simplicity provides freedom from stuff, so that if you borrow my car because you have a need and you need it and you put a giant scratch in the side of the door, I know, right? We're like, oh, jerk. But simplicity, if I'm really trying to live in this practice of this exercise of simplicity, can go, it's a car. Scratch. Do I think you did it maliciously? Probably not. And you know what? Simplicity allows me the freedom from stuff. Right? The challenge is trying to teach sometimes. I mean, the challenge is not just us as adults, but especially for our kids. And like helping my kids understand that your stuff isn't really all that important. So that when your friends come over and they break this Lego thing that Theodore, you've put together, that one, we just put it back together. Or two, they break some toy, and simplicity gives us freedom from stuff, and it makes our stuff and ourselves available to other people. If what we have is not available to others when it makes sense or when it can meet a need, then in a sense, those things are stolen. That we are actually stealing from when we are not making our stuff and ourselves available to others. Simplicity gives us the freedom to say, that's cool. Because the first part of it was that it was a gift from God, right? So it's not, it's stuff that I'm a steward of. God is giving to me. So it's not mine. So therefore, it's also yours to use when you need. And simplicity gives me the freedom to do that. So a couple applications of, and I, of course there are others, a couple applications of simplicity. Ways in which I think you and I can be thinking about how to exercise it, okay? Buy things for usefulness, not status. Simple. I mean, that's a simple concept, right? Buy stuff because it's useful, not because somebody's going to think you're cool. Or because you're trying to be the Joneses. Buy stuff for usefulness, not status. Simplicity. Avoid things that have created an addiction. You have heard me say, and you will hear, continue to hear me say, that addictions and the hope that can be found in and through Christ on the road of recovery is something that I have become really passionate about over the last year. And my hope and my prayer is that as a church, that will be, that's part of what my vision is for what it means to be a new church. That's going to be part of our culture, is talking, that is the message of Jesus, of hope. That is our thing as Christians. That's our story. So we have a life-changing thing when it comes to something like addiction, when we talk about the hope that is found in Jesus. We are all in recovery. Some of us might have a particular label that we would put on it and say, this is my battle, this is my struggle. All the rest of us, and including those two, would say, oh, it is sin. And Paul talks about that we are slaves to sin, but we don't have to be. Instead, that we can be slaves to Christ. And in that is hope and freedom. So when we talk about simplicity, now not only do we talk about buying things that are useful, we talk about avoiding things. Stay away from the things that cause addiction. And what I'm learning as I spend time with those on the road to recovery or in recovery, because it's never a destination, right? It's always a journey and it's always a process. And also those who are struggling, the things that I'm learning, and I've appreciated especially, instead of calling it an addiction, I've heard some of it referred to as an allergy, which immediately puts it in a different light and perspective. And you need to hear this, because an addiction sounds like a thing that we choose, right? That somehow we're like, no, I've chosen this vice, and I'm, and then we get it, and then we spiral down the drain of fear, shame, and guilt. Oh my gosh, I did this thing, and I can't stop choosing this thing, and I'm just, and fear, shame, and guilt pulls us down there, and that's not the story. Our story is Jesus and hope, right? So simplicity says avoid those things, and the idea that if you think about it as an allergy, now allergy moves it out of your control. You do not have control over this thing. And when we think that just by our self-will, like my self-determination, I'm going to beat this thing, it's not going to work. But an allergy allows us to look at it and go, I didn't choose this. You don't choose to be lactose intolerant. You don't choose to be allergic to peanuts. You don't choose to be allergic to bee stings. You don't choose to be allergic to whatever. My wife has like allergies. Like, so in the season when allergies happen, right? And it's right in the season too, when I want to open all the windows, right? It's like spring and fall where I'm like, this is beautiful weather. Like, you know, let's bust open the windows. And she's like, her eyes get all like, she's like, I can't see. And she's all like scratchy and she can't breathe. And she doesn't choose that. Addiction, I would say, and this has helped me as I spend time with the recovery journey, is that this idea of allergy is a thing that you don't choose and you can't control. And simplicity would say, so avoid those things. Now, you trying to do it on your own, I would suggest, isn't going to work. That's why the message and the hope of the church and Jesus is we are all in recovery. You cannot. That's why when people say, you know what, I get God on my own when I'm walking around in the woods. Great. Do I think God's there? Yeah, I do. I think he's absolutely there. Do I think that the trees are going to help you avoid sin? No. Like, is the tree going to show up when you're struggling and be like, hey, it's all right. Let's keep going. Nope, I don't. I think it is the life of the church. I think it is the people in the church. I think it is the faith community that are the people who come alongside and walk with on the journey. And even if that journey is addiction and working through that, that is a journey that I believe we are called to do as Christians and as the church. More and more, I believe that addiction is the silent killer of the affluent. It crosses every socioeconomic status, ethnicity. It crosses all of those boundaries. But I've lived in this community now for just over a year, and what I believe is that it is way more apparent than we ever even begin to recognize, because most of us are pretty good at wearing masks. And we figured out how to navigate the things that we struggle with. Not just addiction, but all the other stuff. So simplicity, I think, one of the things that it tells us to do is to avoid the things that have created a dependency, an addiction. You cannot simply just decide to be free of it. Just like you cannot just simply decide to be free of sin. We are all in recovery from sin, and we have to have each other, and we've got to have Jesus. There is hope in that message, and that is our message as the church. And we have done, in my opinion, not a very good job of sharing that message with a community of people who wear their brokenness on the outside. We're all broken. But those on that traveling that road of recovery have been, and really, to their benefit, have been forced to wear it on their sleeve. I can't help but wonder if there's more healing that happens there than in the church sometimes. And I think simplicity is a way that we can try to avoid those traps. That we can decide to simply live one day at a time under God's grace. And so you cannot hear that, oh, well, I don't have this allergy to this or to that. And then go, well, this doesn't apply to me. It's not true. Because at the base level, sin will always be your allergy. Sin will always be your struggle and my struggle as well. So we buy things that are for usefulness, not for status. We avoid things that have created addiction. And we develop a habit of giving stuff away. We develop a habit of giving stuff away. If you want to talk about simplicity as an exercise, a great way to do that and to live that is to give stuff away. I mean, it makes sense, right? Not just what it means to follow Jesus, but also in the practical sense of simplicity is to develop a habit of giving stuff away. I don't need it. You can use it. You need it. I don't. And the exercise of simplicity gives us the freedom to do that. If you want to practice this, or if you're struggling with this idea, giving stuff away will be one of the quickest ways to kind of start to work through the exercise of simplicity. Because for some of us, it's really, really hard. It's really hard to give stuff away. Even stuff that, like, we don't use or don't care about. And that can be a really meaningful exercise in the pursuit of simplicity. Hard, but can also be a meaningful push there. I'm sure there are other things. One of the things I would invite you to do, it's not really homework. It's encouraging your thought or your engagement. It would be interesting to see. We have a Facebook page as a church. You can go there. Sunrise Indy, I think, is the name of the Facebook page. And it would be interesting to see ways in which you are striving to pursue simplicity. Some of you, I think, are really good at it. And you're like, yeah, it'd be interesting to see you share some of the things that you're trying to do. And so I'm giving you the freedom right now to do that and not feel like that doesn't make you super spiritual, all right? So if you go on the Facebook page and you're like, I give stuff away every other day. Like, that is not, you know, we're not going to be like, oh my gosh, it's like you're Jesus. Okay, that's not the thing. And you don't have to feel weird about it. You're not being like, I'm not trying to claim that I'm like super spiritual. That's not the point of this. The point is, as we have to be talking about the ways in which we try to exercise these things so that we might help each other. There's nothing wrong with, if you are good at the exercise of simplicity, please tell us help us how to do it. And if you have some practical ways that you're like, here are some things that we do in our home or I do in my home that we to try to practice simplicity. There's no harm in sharing that kind of thing. Could be actually really interesting. Just like I've heard stories from those of you that are doing the fasting thing, or that are like, I'm trying to study, it's boring, I don't like it, but I'm trying. Like, it'd be fascinating to hear your stories. I get to hear a lot of them, but not everybody does. And to hear other people's story of, I'm working through this exercise, and just like going to the gym, just like trying to eat better, it's hard, and it is an exercise that I'm trying and trying, and I have to keep trying. I would encourage you to share your stories. I think you'll find that more people will resonate with them than you think, and that it will be a shared story more than you realize. That has been the truth for me this week. This week in ministry has been a reminder to me that so many of our stories are shared and you just don't know it. So many of you share the same story and you just don't even know it. Now, it's not my place to share those stories with you, but you have shared stories. And wouldn't it be fascinating if we realize the ways in which our stories overlap and the common threads that weave in and out of them, so that then we can go, huh, you're walking that road too? What would it look like if we walked it together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the ways in which you challenge us, the ways in which you encourage us, the ways in which you care for us, that you support us. We're thankful for the story that you've given us to tell, that you have invited your story to be our story. And so that wherever we might be on our journey and our relationship with you, that you might help us to remind us that you meet us there. Lord, you know that we live in a world, in a culture that is at times so complex. There's just so much stuff going on and things that are happening all the time. And sometimes, even as your word tells us, sometimes we confess to you that we make it more complicated than it needs to be. And so we confess that to you, and we ask that you would help us. Lord, help us to be a simple people. Lord, that as we live and we learn and we love together, that we would be reminded of the simple message of your gospel, that you love us and that there is hope and freedom in your love. And Lord, help us, convict us, and maybe you've already done that. Your spirit might already be showing us some things this morning as we sit here and have had this conversation, of ways and things that we need to kind of trim. We need to trim the anxiety, the worry from our lives, the things that are causing us to not be simple, the things that are complicating life. Lord, give us the courage to trim those things. Lord, that we might simply love you and simply love others.